Well, welcome everyone to our worship service here this Lord's Day morning. This is our communion service this morning, and then, God willing, the Thanksgiving service this evening at 7:30. There's a meeting of the Northern Presbytery Ministers Fraternal tomorrow. It's at 1:30, and it's in the courthouse in Ballymoney. And then on Wednesday evening, midweek meeting for prayer here in the church hall. You'll be aware that the Stormont Executive have announced a two-week lockdown from the 27th of November to the 10th of December. And so the regulations mean that we're not allowed to meet for worship on two Sabbath days, the 29th of November and the 6th of December. I ask the members of session if they could remain behind after this morning service. We'll discuss the arrangements that we'll put in place for the next two Sabbath days, and then that can be announced this evening. And the announcements will be heard by those who are here, and they can be accessed on the website by those who aren't able to be here, and those who get CDs will hear the arrangements also. So elders to meet after the service here. We'll meet up at the stage end of the church hall, not sitting down, but just standing in a circle, and that will be the arrangement. We come today to communion. We always do that with the session having been constituted. So some of our elders are in the church building. Others are here in the church hall. But now, as the moderator of the session, I declare the court of session to be duly constituted in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. And I need to remember to dissolve session after the evening service this evening. So with those announcements, we come to the worship of God today. We'll be trying to keep this to a shorter communion service than usual because of the health situation. We commence worship joining together in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we have this nice, bright, sunny day to gather together for worship, and we praise you for that. We thank you for the God that you are. We thank you that you're the God of all grace, and we praise you for your grace shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that great Savior that you have provided, and we pray that today as we remember him, remember his saving work, as we remember his death, that this will be something that you will use as a blessing to us. We pray for forgiveness for all our sins. We ask for your presence with those not able to be among us today. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be drawing near to them, even as they look to you. Hear us now. Bless us in this time of worship. May your Holy Spirit be at work among us for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together in the Scriptures, turning to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and reading the second half of Hebrews chapter 7. I'll begin the reading at verse 14 in our church pew Bible. The page number is 1066, Hebrews chapter 7, and reading from verse 14 down to the end of chapter 7. So let us hear this, the word of God. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. And so reads God's own true word. We come to God in our prayers. During the week, two of our ministers had their calls presented, Andrew Kerr and Robert McCollum. And then the Dromore congregation have issued a call to Philip Dunwoody. So Philip Dunwoody is also under call, and it's planned that that call be presented on Wednesday, the 9th of December, Northern Presbytery meeting, which will be during the time of the restrictions. So it'll be done via Zoom. We come to God in prayer now, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you that in your providence, the day that we had set to have our communion is the day before, the Sabbath day before the new restrictions have their effect upon us, and we return thanks to you for that gracious providence of yours. We pray, Lord, for the coming church closures, and we ask, Lord, that that will be a short-lived thing, that it wouldn't have to be extended further than has already been announced. And we pray for help in the things that will have to be arranged because we can't meet together. We pray, Lord, for all the churches that are in that same situation. We pray for the churches in the Republic of Ireland where they have been living like this for several weeks now. We pray that that will come to an end at the time that has been set for it. We remember the work in Galway, and we pray for the work there, and we pray for them that that they will soon be able to meet together again, and that would be a great blessing to them. We pray for two of our congregations in Scotland, in Airdrie and in Glasgow, where their numbers have been reduced from 50 down to 20 for these next few weeks, and we pray for them as they adjust to that. And we remember also our missionaries in Nantes and in Malaga as they are under restrictions in France and in Spain. Pray today for the service that Isaac Barakol will be leading, and that will go out on YouTube with them not being able to gather in their basement in these times. And we pray that that will all work out well, and we pray that there'll be other folk who will who will listen into that. And we pray that your word will go out and that your good purposes will come to fruition. But Lord, we remember other believers who know restrictions much, much more severe than anything we have known. We pray for churches where the authorities have not just told them to close for a wee while, but where they've taken their property away and where they've not been allowed to meet at all, and that authorities have made every effort to destroy the work of your church. We pray for folk who are still living under those kind of situations. We remember the pastor in the church in Chengdu. We pray for Pastor Wang Yi in his imprisonment. And we pray for him that you'll keep him strong in the faith. And we pray for your blessing upon his congregation, that they will be able to press on and do what they can in the things that they face. We pray the same, Lord, for all persecuted believers in many different nations of the earth. We thank you, God, that there is good news in the Scriptures. We thank you, Lord, that there is salvation, that there is full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you that today, as we remember his death, that we do so knowing that that wasn't a meaningless death, that that was a death that accomplished great things, that that was a death and resurrection to follow that has changed the face of the earth. And we rejoice, Lord, at the millions of Christians that there are now scattered around the different nations of the earth, when at the time of Christ's death, there were only a few people in one particular little part of the world. And we praise you, God, for what we see of your great saving power, and we rejoice in it. Lord, hear our prayers. Bless us as we consider your truth. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week at our preparation service, my communion theme on this occasion is three short words: He is able. And last Lord's Day, we looked at Hebrews 2, verse 18, telling us how the Lord Jesus is able to help those who are tempted. And now as we come today to our communion service in unusual circumstances, it's another single verse in Hebrews that I want to speak on. It's verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 7. Therefore, he, that is the Lord Jesus, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so, having thought about Jesus as able to help the tempted, we think now on Jesus able to save. We come today to worship the Lord who saves, and Jesus is able to save. Recently in China, in the picturesque town of Zhongshan, which is very close to the huge, sprawling city of Chongqing, there was a 24-year-old student at Chongqing University who was out visiting this town. Lots of tourists go to see it. It's a lovely place. She is from the city of Wuhan, where the coronavirus was rampant in January of this year. And she was down by the river where many other people were. She was out with her camera, as many Chinese tourists are. And she was getting close to the river to get the best photo that she could. And she slipped and she fell into the river. The water was quite deep and she was flailing around in the water, and there were many people around and they saw what happened, and for a few moments she was flailing about in the water, and then the current took her under a footbridge, And by the time she came out the other side of the footbridge, she was face down in the water, and she was floating lifeless there in the waters of the river. Many people were making a lot of noise and a lot of fuss as they saw what had happened. But one man took his shoes off and jumped into the river fully clothed. And he was able to swim across to where the girl was. He was able to turn her over so that her face wasn't down in the water, but she was unconscious. And she wasn't breathing. But he held her up as best he could. And with the help of a life buoy on a rope that was thrown to him by someone else, he was able to put that around her and able to bring her towards the land. And as he got her close to the bank of the river, she began to breathe again. And some people came to where she was, and they were able to hoist her up out of the water. And she survived. She lived. It looked as if she was gone. It looked as if there was no hope for her, but she survived. And she is extremely grateful to the man who saved her life. The man was Stephen Ellenson, an Englishman, the 61-year-old British consul general in the great city of Chongqing, whose job it is to support trade talks between Britain and China. He was the man. He was the man of all the people that were there, all the people with all their noise and all their cameras. He was the man that got his shoes off, jumped into the river, and saved the girl. The BBC news report says that footage of this incident has been viewed over a million times. And it says that it also got locals doing a bit of self-reflection on how they view foreigners. Despite recent negative feelings towards Britain, many Chinese say they're shocked that so many local people were watching and not a single person rushed to the water themselves to help. And it quotes one online comment that says, "For such a big official to go into the water himself to save someone, you've got to like this." Well, that happened in China just in recent days. And today we come together far from that town in China. And we reflect on an even greater story. We reflect on how it was the very Son of God who was the Savior that came to the rescue. And unlike Mr. Ellison, he gave up his own life in the process of rescuing those who could do nothing for themselves. Thankfully, today in China, there will be many people who will be thankful for the high-ranking official that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the one that they know has saved them when no one else would save them. And today in Karatz, we remember the same Savior. And let us be glad that we have a Savior who is able, as we're told in Hebrews 7:25, able to save to the uttermost. Jesus Christ is able to save. I want to speak first of all from this verse about a living Savior. Verse 25 begins with the word "therefore," and is pointing to what has come before. And the writer has been talking about how Jesus is different from all the merely human priests that people would have experienced, those who came before him. They lived for a while, and then they died, and they had to be replaced. Verse 23 says that they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus was different. Jesus also died, of course. But Jesus wasn't prevented by death from continuing, because Jesus rose from the dead. And we're told in verse 24 that he continues forever and that he has an unchangeable priesthood. And Jesus Christ is the only priest that we will ever need. And his death was the one sacrifice that put an end to all those other sacrifices that had gone on for centuries. Those sacrifices had to be repeated because they didn't do the job. They didn't put away sin forever. But Jesus' sacrifice needs no repetition because he has put sin away forever. And here in verse 25, we're told at the end of the verse that he is able to save, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save us by his death, but he is a living Savior who continues to save his people by interceding for us, interceding with God on our behalf. Christians have a living Savior, and he is acting in heaven on our behalf. He is our legal representative, and he ensures that all will go well in our case. We have a living Savior. We have a Savior who always lives. Then the second place, I want to speak on saved to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 doesn't just limit itself to saying that Jesus is able to save. It's a much more rich and a much more full statement that we are given. He is also able to save to the uttermost. And the addition of those words, to the uttermost, give much cause for rejoicing to those who trust in this Lord Jesus. What does it mean that he is able to save to the uttermost? Well, I think there are two things in particular that are in mind here. That he saves to the uttermost, it means, first of all, that he saves forever. Because he continues forever, because he always lives, he is able to save forever. Now, there are some very, very good things that we can have in life, things that we will really appreciate and be very thankful for, but we know they're not going to last. There are people and places, there are privileges and possessions, and they can be very precious to us, but we know they're not going to last to the uttermost. But the salvation, which is the free gift of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus who lives forever, that salvation is going to last forever. And if you're a believer, you can rejoice that the day you were saved by Jesus means that every day that follows, you're also saved by the Lord Jesus. That student from Wuhan who fell in the river, she was saved, but she wasn't saved forever. She wasn't saved to the uttermost. But those who are saved by Jesus Christ are saved forever. We are saved to the uttermost. Jesus removes completely the death sentence that hangs over us because of our sin. So what a blessing to know that you have been saved to the uttermost in the sense of being saved forever. That he saves to the uttermost also means that he saves fully. It also means that he is able to save completely. No half measures in the saving work that Jesus does. There's no such thing as a person who's half saved, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Either we are fully saved or we are not saved at all. When Jesus saves, he saves to the uttermost. He saves fully. He saves completely. At the minute, as you'll be aware, there are many different laboratories in different parts of the world that are striving to come up with a vaccine that will be effective for COVID-19. And some of the big companies that have been working on this, some of those that are furthest advanced in the process, they have issued figures about how effective they believe their vaccine will be. And some of those figures, thankfully, have been very impressive. But none of them claims to be 100% effective. Nobody's saying everybody that uses this vaccine will be guaranteed to never catch COVID. But the Lord Jesus Christ is 100% effective in saving those that he sets out to save. And those he saves are saved completely. Nobody knows at the minute in terms of all those vaccines as to how long they'll be effective for, if they are effective. But with Christ, he is fully effective. When Jesus saves a sinner, then all of their sins are dealt with. When Jesus saves a sinner, all of the condemnation of God, all of that deserved condemnation, is fully removed from us. When Jesus saves a sinner, then all of the righteousness of Jesus himself is credited to his saved people. It is salvation to the uttermost. And the verdict of God upon someone whom Jesus has saved is in no doubt whatsoever. So what a blessing it is to know that you've been saved to the uttermost in the sense of being saved fully. With Jesus Christ, you are saved to the uttermost. Then the third thing I want to speak of from Hebrews 7:25 is about coming to God. It's great to know that there is a Savior. There is a Savior who will always live to make intercession for those he represents. And it's good to know that he is one who is able to save to the uttermost those he does save. But how do we know if these things mean anything in our own case? Well, we have to take careful note of what we're told here in Hebrews 7:25, because we're taught here that those who are saved to the uttermost, all of them are described as those who come to God through him. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all of those who come to God through him. And there you have the idea of a go-between or a mediator. And Jesus is that mediator between God and man. Imagine that of all the famous people in the world that you would like to meet, who would be your first choice of all, if you could meet anybody that you wanted to meet, who would it be? Well, I'm sure probably whoever it is, you're not expecting to meet that person. You can't imagine it happening in real life. You couldn't just find out what their address is and go to their house and expect that you could just go to the door and have a chat with them. If it's a public figure, they'll be well guarded and they'll be shielded from inconvenience in their lives. And so if you were ever to meet someone that's very famous that you really want to meet, you're probably going to need to know someone who is close to them. someone who could bring you into their company. That's your only hope. And that's how it is. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does for those whom he saves. Jesus is the one who brings us into the company of God himself. And we are received and accepted and welcomed by God because of our connection with his Son. If you're a friend of my Son, you're a friend of mine. That's God's attitude. And those who are saved to the uttermost are those who come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to come trusting completely that he is able to do this for us, and that he is the only means by which we can be brought to God. We must come to God through him. That is the only way of admission. That is the only way of acceptance. There are no shortcuts. There are no alternatives. All of those who are saved to the uttermost are those who have come to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that he is the door. He is the way in to the presence of God. He tells us that he is the way that leads to God. He tells us that no one comes to the Father except through him. So all who are saved to the uttermost have come to God through Christ. The girl in the river in China, she needed to be saved. She was unconscious. She had stopped breathing. There was no hope of her saving herself. And as sinners, we are in the same kind of spiritual peril and situation. We cannot deal with our own sin. We can't write off our sin. We can't remove it. We can't get rid of it. We need a Savior. And there are many ways that are offered to you in life as to how you can be right with God, how you can come to God. There are many false religions and false hopes in this world. And they're like all those tourists and that riverbank in China. And they make a lot of noise. And they make a lot of fuss. But they don't do anything for you. There's a lot of great religious figures that are offered as being, this is the one who will make a difference in your life. They'll not do anything for you. There's only one person who has come down to the level of sinners and has given himself that those sinners might live. Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to save to the uttermost. The rest of the hopes out there, what can they offer? Well, they can offer YouTube footage of you drowning. But Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And today we come to the Lord's Supper. And if you're taking communion today, you're saying, I have come to God through Jesus Christ. And we're coming not because we've been able to save ourselves, but we come trusting that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is able to save. He is mightily able to save. And when he saves to the uttermost. Amen. Well, at this point, I would normally be asking the elders to come to the front. There isn't any front, and I'm not asking the elders to move from where they are, have constituted session, and I have asked two of the elders to distribute the elements here in the church hall, and then another one in through in the church building. We come now to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and as we do so, I remind you from Scripture that this is something that God takes very seriously, and that we are to take seriously also. Remind you of the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we're taught of the need to examine ourselves. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And we come to the table remembering that he is able. We are not able. We are not those who are acceptable to God in our own right. We are fully acceptable to God in and through Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved, but we're only accepted in the Beloved. So we need to come to the table trusting fully in Christ and not at all in ourselves. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was one that was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught his followers that they were to do this in remembrance of him. And God's people have been doing this in remembrance of him right down through the ages since that Last Supper. As we come to communion, those who are members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, we renew our membership vows. We're saying, "I accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice." It's in the Word of God that we learn of salvation, and we trust that this Word is true. Say also, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only Redeemer of men, supreme in church and state, and in dependence on divine grace, I take him as my Savior and Lord." We're saying, "I have come to God through Jesus Christ." We say, thirdly, "I promise by divine grace to show a teachable and submissive spirit to the teaching of Holy Scripture as set forth in the testimony of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. And fourthly, I promise that by the help of the Holy Spirit, I will endeavor to live a life consistent with my profession." And a life consistent with our profession is a life that is consistent with the life of Christ. We strive to be like him, and in doing so, we see our sin all along. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, we endeavor to follow him, to be his disciples. And on the basis of those terms of membership and of communion as a session, we invite to the table those who are members, communicant members in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and those adherents in this congregation who have previously been approved by session. As far as I am aware, there are no other visitors with us today. I just say a few short words as we come to the table. I spoke in my sermon about Mr. Ellison. Mr. Ellison, Englishman in China, who was able to save the student from Wuhan. But she wasn't the only person that Mr. Ellison was able to save, because he was able to save himself. And he survived to tell the tale. Jesus didn't save himself when he saved sinners. And one of the horrible things that Jesus had to listen to when he was nailed to the cross were the words the taunting, mocking words of people who said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Jesus knew what he was doing, and he chose to save others and not to save himself from death. And today we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we remember his death. We remember that in order to save us to the uttermost, he had to die. He had to lay down his life. We remember the crucified Savior who didn't save himself so that he could save others. Until very recently, Mr. Ellison would have been viewed with much suspicion by the Chinese people that he would have encountered. The Chinese would have called him Waiguoren. That's a word I heard when I was in China a few times. Waiguoren. That's what I was. I was a Waiguoren. I was a foreigner. It's not a compliment when the Chinese call you a Waiguoren. But they don't call him that now. They use a different word to refer to him. Now he is Shushu, which means uncle. He used to be a foreigner. Don't trust foreigners. But now he's an uncle. And he's seen in a different light. Now he's one of us. Now he's part of our family. Now he's respected. And similarly, when a person is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to see him in a totally different light. People who aren't yet trusting in Jesus, they're wary of him. They're scared of the difference that he would make to their lives if they trusted in him. And they want to keep him at a distance. But when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he becomes precious to us. And he is our Savior. And we love to remember what he did in order to save us and to save us to the uttermost. We see Jesus in a different light when we come to believe in him. And today we remember that he gave his life that we might be saved to the uttermost. And in that, we rejoice. In that, we give thanks. Amen. Now, very shortly, the communion elements will be distributed, and I've asked two of the elders to do it here in the church hall. Harold will be covering the half that he sits on, and William will be stepping over the great dividing line, and he'll be doing the other side. And Robert will be distributing the elements through in the church building. The elders, remind the elders that you're to have your face covering on when you're doing this. And then, when you've received your little cup, these things are very small. You can remove the plastic film from the top of it. So the plastic film is the first layer, and below the plastic film is this very small little white piece of bread. It's like a little counter. There's not much to it. And then below that there is metal foil. And then afterwards then you'll be removing the foil, and there's a little tab on it, and you just lift the whole thing backwards, and that will allow you to drink from the cup. So this is what we are using. These haven't been touched by human hands, and so when the elders go round, if you're careful just to take the one that you're going for, and not to be touching any of the other ones at the same time. So at this stage, then I'll just ask the elders to distribute the elements, and I'll wait until I'm sure everybody has received before we proceed to the communion. And so I have one here for demonstration purposes. I just use this one rather than using another one. You don't need to serve me. So Harold and William and Robert, if you would come forward and distribute using the trays that are at the front. Well, the scriptures tell us, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Says there, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So part of what the Lord Jesus instituted was the eating of the bread, and Jesus gave thanks, and Jesus broke the bread. So let us give thanks for the bread and what it means to us. O Lord, our Father in heaven, we praise you for the reminder today of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the death that he died. And we know, Lord, that death was a difficult death, a death that involved great physical suffering and great spiritual suffering also. And we praise you for how, as we think of the broken bread, it reminds us of our Savior who was broken for us. And we praise you and we thank you for his willingness to come down among us and do what had to be done that we might be saved. So we return thanks for our Savior, and we praise you. We ask for your blessing upon this bread as we will eat together, and we pray in his name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, he took the bread and he broke the bread, and so let us eat, and let us remember our Savior, the Lord Jesus, as we do so. Let us now eat together. Then if you remove the foil carefully, hopefully that comes off and will allow you to drink from the cup. If you can keep a hold of your cup, and whatever door you're going out, there's a little bin or a bag or something to put these into. We don't want somebody going around and picking up what lots of other people have had their hands on. So from a hygiene point of view, that's what to do. Well, we're told that in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us give thanks for the cup. O Lord, we praise you for our crucified Savior. And we thank you for that blood of his that was shed for his people. And we thank you that he was willing to be the Lamb of God, the Lamb who was without blemish, the one who was our Passover lamb. And we praise you that he died the just for the unjust. And we praise you for the eternal life that comes to those trusting in him. So we praise you for the cup. We thank you, Lord, for all that our Savior took upon himself that was due to us. And we praise you for all that we receive in him. Receive our thanks now and bless this cup to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as the Lord Jesus took the cup, and as they drank from the cup, let us now drink together. And now we turn to the Lord again in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for this sacrament that you have given to us. And we praise you, Lord, that it is good for us to remember the death of our Lord and Savior. We thank you that in his death and in all that he did for his people, he is the one who saves to the uttermost. And Lord, we recognize that we have an enemy who would want us to doubt our salvation. And so we pray that you will cause these words to be burned deeply into our memories. Help us to know, Lord, that there is no salvation other than a salvation where we are saved to the uttermost. We praise you that there's nothing missing in this salvation of Jesus Christ. And we pray that it will never come to an end. And so we praise you for how we are forever saved and how we are fully saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us each day to be those who come to you through him. May we always look to him as our mediator. May we remember that he continues to intercede for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us to gladly go forward in life as those who have been saved, as those who owe everything to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to do that work of saving people, saving them to the uttermost. We pray for those that we know of who are not yet trusting in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you will open their eyes to see that that's entirely a good thing, and to see the blessings that are there. And Lord, we pray that people will not want to stand before you in their own righteousness, but instead to know that righteousness of Jesus covering them, and to know that in him they will be accepted. Lord, we return thanks for the Lord's Supper, and we pray that you will work in our souls by your Holy Spirit. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the psalm with which we close today is Psalm 130, and it's the B version of the psalm that we sing. The tune is Martyrdom, number 114. Psalm 130, the B version, to the tune Martyrdom 114. And we've been thinking of how the Lord Jesus is one who saves to the uttermost. And the last verse here in Psalm 130 reflects that. It speaks about redemption, but it speaks about plenteous redemption. Saving to the uttermost and plenteous redemption. These are the same kind of thoughts. We're told that plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities he, Israel, shall redeem. Jesus is the one who redeems. He's the one who pays the price, and we receive the blessings of his plenteous redemption. So we remain seated as we sing Psalm 130b, and then I'll close the service then in the benediction.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice looked down the hill unto my supplicant's voice. Give shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, but yet with thee forgiveness is that fear thou. Is ever found where iniquities, Israel shall redeem.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.